This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. And sorry for keeping everybody waiting. Let me just go to Gladys. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you doing?
Good. Gladys, any second chances, or third chances as the case may be in this case, in your eyes for this man?
He found God. I am taking the piss. Look, it seems very odd setup, right? You know, that she doesn't know what's in his accounts, or they don't have.
Yeah, I kind of thought
they have a kind of a my money, house money, and you know, like my money, because you know that's what it looks like.
But I meant to say that because when I was reading that out, I actually paused when I said that. I had a mate going back a good few years ago, and his wife's father or mother died or something like that. Her parents died. And he was telling me, I said, are you heading away in holidays here? And he said, oh, I don't really have the money, you know. And I said, what's the story? I said, I thought that the wife's parents had died there and there was a few kids. And he says, oh yeah, I don't know how much you got. I said, what do you mean you don't know how much you got? Oh, that's in her account. Like, I wouldn't know how much you got.
Mm-mm.
I said, but you're married to her 20 years. How do you not know what she... Like, that would be inconceivable to me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I do understand. Two of these are out working, right? You know, and so... Yep, you throw in the money into the third account that, you know, that pays all the bills, makes sure everything's up to date and paid and whatever. And so you don't want to go to your husband or a partner and say, can I have money for a hairdresser, you know, for to get my hair done? Or he doesn't want to go and ask for whatever he needs to get his hair done, whatever. And so if it's his own personal money, it's to do what he likes.
But if you're married to somebody, and don't get me wrong, you can have separate bank accounts, that's fine. But is there such thing as your own personal money? I mean, I have money in my bank account. My wife has money in her bank account. But mine is hers and hers is mine.
No, but I mean, you wouldn't dip into hers now. No, but I'd go back a horse, would you?
No, not back a horse. I wouldn't dip into her bank account. But what I'm saying is, we would never see each other stuck. We would never see
a bit different, Niall. That's a bit different because she has her money, so she doesn't have to come to you and say, listen, Niall, I'm going on a weekend and I'm getting my hair done and a massage and my nails, the whole, give us a couple of £100. She has her own money, so she doesn't have to come to you. It's none of your business.
But we share our money.
So off she goes. Yeah, but she doesn't come and ask you for that, does she? She wouldn't. You don't go and ask her, I'm going to buy a new pair of shoes, you know, give us the money. It used to be that way, that the man would come home and hand over the brand.
I know, I remember me dad.
And then the mother would hand over, there's 10 bob, and that's yours, to do with what you like. I mean, when I was growing up, that's the way it was. And my dad had 1 pint and 2 pints after mass on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And he backed a horse on a Saturday.
No, I remember my mom coming home and had him, or my dad coming home on a Friday, and we had my mother.
Yeah.
With her, and he used to say, there's your wages, Lily. And here's 30 quid, get yourself something nice.
Yeah. You see, I'm a bit confused about what way.
Yeah, it's an odd situation. Right, it's an odd situation that she didn't know.
So I think if it is a 600 quid for him to do what he wants, like his little hairdressing, you know, to get a wig or whatever he needs, and he decides to back a horse, I think that's his business.
Oh.
Now, if he was taking it out of the housekeeping and the mortgage wasn't paid and there's no food on the table and you name it, you know,
okay,
whatever.
Let me ask Bernie then.
She has her little bit of money and he said to her, listen, you know, you spend 600 quid, which is quite easy to do.
On your nails,
on your hair,
and hair and
nails, and your whole shooting gallery and clothes. I'm just slightly curious about, it just doesn't seem...
Whereas I'm okay to blow it on a horse. Okay, so, Bernie, I understand the point Gladys is making. As long as he's providing, as long as he's putting his money in the kitty for the mortgage and for the food, what's the harm?
But there is harm. We know gambling is an addiction. Like, it is harm. Like, we don't have any of the proper...
You could argue that getting your hair and nails done monthly is probably addiction, according to Gladys.
You know, but if you didn't have the money, you wouldn't do it. Let's be honest.
Well, if
I
you
didn't
can
have
stop,
the money
it's not an addiction.
Well, he
if
said
you can
it can,
stop, it's not a disease.
Yeah, but if you can, you can get... You don't have to get your hair done every month. You choose to get your hair done when you have, you know, because you're working, so you're paying for that. You're not dipping into your family's money fund. or the
No, that's what I'm saying. If they're dipping into, and you're causing grief within the family because you're dipping into the bills, it's something is going short. He's using, I'm just not, I don't know, but he's using his kind of pocket money, if you like, so they're loaded. He's using that and he chooses to back horses or whatever it is. Is that really an issue? If he can afford it, nobody's hurt.
I just interpret it differently, is that I see gambling and alcohol and drugs as an addiction. Hair, makeup and all those things are, you're not really addicted to it. It's something to make you feel
I know women that are addicted to Botox, lip fillers, ear changing, hair extensions, nail extensions, eyelashes. The whole shooting gallery wouldn't cost £600. I think it's an addiction.
There are some primarily women who are addicted to that kind of
But you wouldn't be
taking it themselves.
You wouldn't be taking it £600. And it wouldn't. I just know for me, if I was getting my hair, makeup, and everything done every day or every week or whatever you get it done, I don't. But I wouldn't be if I was not being able to pay my ESB bill, or so I couldn't pay the phone bill, or I couldn't pay for the car insurance.
But she's not saying that.
And she kind of is, Gladys, because she asked him about the holidays, and he said he was short that month.
I said he couldn't afford it.
Yeah, he said he was short.
That's right.
Yeah. It is affecting the family.
It is. Yeah.
Well, then, but I don't believe. Look, she knew. This is not a blame statement, right? She knew there was issues there, right, before she married him. There's pains. People believe that you can just walk away. She loves the man. They have a life. They have, other than what she's after finding out. But it's very, very, people are very liberal, if that's the right word, to walk away. Oh, just walk away. Forget it. She loves the man. She loves the man. She loves her life. She's found out now that he spent £600. It's now maybe time to nip it in the bud. But to walk away is very, very harsh. You marry for good, better, and in health, sickness, and all the other rubbish that goes with it.
It's not rubbish.
You know,
go on.
I just can't think of it.
I know.
It's all rubbish, anyway.
But in sickness, Ellen, and health, till death do us part. Go on.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, that thing. Yeah. That's kind of the happy part. You know, sort of thing, like, but the rest is, you know, you don't just dump on somebody. You know, the walk away for me, you know, somebody's beating you, threatening your life, you know, all of this chorus that he's spending, he's drinking every single penny that's coming into the home, he's gambling every single penny. These are the serious, I have to walk away. This is Sav, you know, this can be saved. She loves him. She loves him. He's a good father. He's a good man. He's a good job. And she has a good life. It can be saved. So, no, I think.
You're very charitable today. Jesus, Gladys, you're very charitable today with your opinion. I'm like Bernie here. I wouldn't be as charitable as you.
Life is black and white. Is that easy?
Well, when it comes to addictions, it is kind of black and white, isn't it?
So, you see, I honestly think it's a choice. I don't believe this narrative. It's a disease.
I don't buy the disease argument, by the way. No, by definition, it's not
a disease.
No, because if you can stop, it's not a disease. It's not a disease. If you can stop.
Yeah, you can't. You can't make a disease go away unless you take tablets or something.
Well, it's not a disease.
Yeah.
So if he says, listen, I'm after messing up here really badly, you know, okay, I'm going to do something, or whatever the case may be. I'm going to stop it, or, you know, I'm going to stop, or I'm going to go to whatever. You know, he can stop. He can make a conscious decision. Yeah,
but you're making it now, you are making it sound quite easy. I don't know, I've never been addicted to gambling, but I'm sure just like being addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs, it is difficult to stop.
Look, I like chocolate. It's difficult to stop.
I mean, look, you can obviously be addicted to food too, you know, and be grossly overweight, etc., which is dangerous for yourself, by the way.
But you can stop. You can absolutely stop with anything, cigarettes, you name it, you can't stop.
Is that a fair point, Bernie, that he can stop anytime he wants?
That's cigarettes and alcohol, that's a personal thing. This is impacting on their 4-year-old and his wife. This is not.
Oh my God! Alcohol, and alcohol can absolutely. It just doesn't take one person out. It takes absolutely nearly everybody out. Everybody's affected.
This is dealing with. What I'm saying is that the money part of it is making them, if it's true, and he's taken and done it before, this is their four-year-old daughter that they are son that they're trying to make a life for, and he's already started to take away from that by taking the money off them. Yes, alcohol and cigarettes impact all families. Sorry, I shouldn't have made that statement, but I'm saying this is something that he's doing himself selfishly. And
yeah, but do you think it can be that it can be saved? She loves him. It's not like she's out of love with him.
I feel that she needs to make a wake-up call, and I pack my little kid's bag and things and say, I'm not back here till this is sorted. You need to sort this out.
This is very easy to say. She might not have nowhere to go. I mean, lots of people have nowhere to go.
But she has to make him see that what he's doing is life changing if he doesn't stop his ways. And the only way she can do that is by not being there.
Well, no, take all his money, and be in control of the money. So that could stop it. You know that he makes an agreement. Listen, I'm going to hand over everything to you, and you dish out to me.
That's a fair point. That's probably the only way to deal with a gambling problem. Is for somebody else to take control of your bank account. Now, temporarily, they believe you're trustworthy enough to go back to doing it yourself. I know it sounds financially controlling, but, you know, it's in the best interest of the person if they're incapable of controlling their own finances.
I know, but you see, in similar circumstances, I've seen them take out Visa cards and use all sorts of ways to get, they can find other ways. If they're truly addicted, they need help. And the only way you're going to stop somebody is to stop them in their tracks and say, you're losing everything. I'm going with the bag. I'm going to walk out of here unless you change your ways. It's the person that's doing it is the problem. And taking away their bank account, they're only going to go somewhere else, maybe put a lien on the house. You don't know what else they're capable of. I don't know. I'm being dark about it.
You are right, because alcoholics or drug addicts or gambling addicts will do anything. And I always remember the story of the guy who came on the air, who's an alcoholic. And he told me that one year at Christmas, he was so desperate that he took the children's toys that they got from Santi and sold them on Stephen's Day.
Yeah.
To get money for drink. Okay, well, stay there for a second. Brian, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, not at all.
Good. Now, Brian, it says on my screen, were you an alcoholic?
I'm an alcoholic, but a recovered one.
Can I say something to you, Brian? I'm not okay with that. See this idea that, you know, a fella or a girl has been drinking and has been an alcoholic and they go and get help and support and they're told in that help and support...
Or they just stop.
You're always going to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life. That's a kind of stigma attached. You know, I know that's the group think and that's the psychological thinking around it. But, like, if I gave up smoking tomorrow... And I go somewhere next week and somebody says to me, are you a smoker? I'm going to say, no, I'm not. Why would I say I'm still a smoker when I'm not actually smoking? So why would people say they're an alcoholic? It's kind of like a stigma.
You see, the thing is, I can't drink safely again. Because I know if I drink
No more than if I gave up cigarettes, I couldn't just have one the following week. Because I know I'll be back on
exactly.
it again.
Yeah. That's it. You're still, the addiction is still there, even though it's dormant.
Yeah, but you're
I
still...
I could go on...
But if you're... How many years are you off the drink?
22 years now.
You're not an alcoholic.
I'll always be an alcoholic because I can't drink again. You know what I mean?
I understand the point you're making, but I've always had an issue with this idea of labelling people an alcoholic 20 years after they've had their last drink. I just find that attaches a stigma to a person.
I don't see it that way because it's a case of where you know, I know I can't drink again. You know what I mean? And if I know, I still have to work a day at a time. You know what I mean?
But do you really have to work a day at a time now, Brian, after 22 years? You're not going around going, oh, I smell alcohol.
I mean, there's nothing to stop me walking into a pub and ordering a pint of Guinness now.
Yeah, but I'm just using the analogy. If I gave up smoking, like, I'm always going to be around smokers. I might sniff it now and again and go, oh, I'd love a cigarette. But in saying that, I'm not a smoker until I start smoking again, the same way as I feel people are not alcoholics until they start drinking again. Anyway, that's only a little bit of a pedantic argument, right? Getting back to our gambler. Yeah. What would you advise this wife to do?
It really should put him out. You know what I mean?
Chuck
why should she lose her home? Yeah, why should she lose her home over? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, rather than her jumping out of house. You know what I mean? Because you said there's a child there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a child. How old is the child? Was it 10?
4.
Four, okay.
Yeah. Why should she make herself home, especially now with the housing crisis the way it is? You know what I mean?
But you can't really but you can't really put him out in the street either, can you?
Yeah, well, you can't. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, you have to sort of say, you know, he'll only see it as a problem when he sees it as a problem myself, as in my own experience. I would have been in and out of AA loads of times, and in and out like a yo-yo. It's only when I saw myself, oh, this is a problem. I have to deal with it. So. Only he sees it as a problem himself, he won't deal with it. You know, he'll try and stop for her or for the child or whatever. It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't see... Gladys is a bit more charitable with her opinion on this one. But you are right. According to the email, he doesn't see it as an issue. Mm. So if he doesn't see it as an issue, it is an issue.
Then it is a real issue, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm just talking from my own experience.
Yeah, of course. And at the height of your alcoholism, going back 23 years ago now, 22 years since you've had your last drink, how much were you drinking, Brian?
Oh, dear. I was drinking. I mean, I got to say I was drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And what were you drinking? Vodka?
No, multi beer, but it doesn't matter what you drink. It's the alcohol that's the problem. You could be drinking beer. I never really, you know, I was more a beer drinker, but it still doesn't matter. It's just with the alcohol, that, not what you were drinking, whether it was beer, wine, or spirits, or whatever.
You know what I mean? Did it do any damage to your life and relationships?
I lost a good job.
Okay.
Ooh.
Why did you go to work drunk?
Well, I just ended up not going in.
Oh, okay. You just didn't turn up.
Exactly.
Going on a bender.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
And that's how it was.
Oh, that's a pity. That's sad. And that was that the awakening for you then, when you lost your job?
About a year later, you know, the things just started spiraling. I was just basically left with nothing, really. I mean, you talk about a guy selling his toys to get money for drink. I remember selling a television. And I'd only bought it a couple of years beforehand.
And you sold it just to get a few quid for drink?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know people do desperate things, desperate times, desperate measures. Yeah. Brian's not as charitable as you. Yeah, but Brian initially said, chuck him out of the house. That'll be the end of it. If he doesn't think he has a problem, it's a real problem.
You know, I don't know his circumstances, but I also think that lots of people, you know, live with alcoholics and they're become. You know, out of the game.
I lived with my father and he was a heavy drinker, but I wouldn't live with an alcoholic. I wouldn't live with a gambler. I wouldn't live with a drug addict.
Niall, if you're so in love with somebody and they developed, I hate the word disease because I just don't believe it, you know, but they fell in love with alcohol, fell in love with gambling.
Yeah, it's a mental addiction.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, psychological.
Yeah, exactly.
Psychological dependency, and physical, especially with alcohol, and the buzz to get out of gambling. You don't sort of wake up, you know, and say, you know what, your man there is after having a drink. That's it, I'm walking. Do you know what I mean? It's a gradual, just because you love somebody.
If it was me, you'd give your the person you love, you'd give them
a second chance. Yeah. Would you be with somebody who said, well, Niall, I love you, but you smoke, so I'm going to leave you, right?
It's hardly the same thing. I know people that literally
cannot be around anybody who smokes, and they're literally fascist about it. Mm. You know, you smoker, you horrible person, you're killing the planet, you're killing everybody around you. They're absolutely, oh God, nightmares.
around anybody that smokes. So if you fell in love and you took up smoking for whatever reason, and they said to you, you know what, Niall, out you go, out of the house, off you go, or listen, let's talk about this. I can't bear the smoke. Can't bear this anymore. You know, you're going to have to leave if you don't give up cigarettes.
I give it up.
What would you do?
I'd give it up.
What if you couldn't?
I would even compromise there. Look, if you're going to smoke outside. You know what I mean?
Well, you could drink outside or gamble outside.
You cannot compare, Gladys, smoking a cigarette or smoking cigarettes to drinking alcohol. Because, firstly, when you're an alcoholic, you don't just affect your own health and your own life.
That's right.
You destroy everybody's lives around you, socially and every other way. Whereas with cigarettes, don't get me wrong, with cigarettes, you are doing damage to your own life and to your own health. There's no doubt about that, okay? But in saying that, generally speaking, as long as you're probably doing smoking outside, as Brian rightly said, you're not doing any harm to anybody else.
The end of a field, you know, practice.
It wouldn't have the same impact.
I see people in the lashings of rain trying to light a wet cigarette,
Socially, it wouldn't have the same impact.
No, mind you, there's something worse than having a cigarette and no lighter. Happened to me the other night. Okay, but stay there, Brian, as well for a second, because I need to go to Jackie. I'm running well over time here now. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Hi, and look, I would be one in favour of that she would take control of the financial end of things, that the bank accounts, everything like that. If she really loves the guy and, they have kids and that she says, right, let's, I'm going to try and kind of come up with a plan here and to make sure that I'm secure and that. And she definitely shouldn't be packing up her bags and leaving the house. It should be him. That should be his bags packed up and gone, But if it's a case that the two of them sat down and said, right, and she said to the husband, look, I am, fearful for our children and for myself and for our security. So therefore, I need to have control over the bank account and to make sure that the house, nothing can be done in a way that he can put the house up, to get a loan or whatever, that she, make sure that every side is covered and then help him, that she goes and seeks help. And that she's involved in that as well. And
I'd give that one shot.
Yeah.
But at the first sign. But I would give it one shot. But see, the problem here with the email is, Jackie, that she said when I confronted him, this is after she looked through his phone and found £600 in 1 month on betting, right? When I confronted him, he had been gambling. When I confronted him, he had admitted that he had been gambling again, but said it was only small amounts. And he could stop at any time, right? So in other words, the guy is delusional. He thinks it's not a problem. So if he thinks that's not a problem, I think you're doomed.
Yeah. And a thing that I do see a lot of is, where you have people, that are alcoholics and have gone, caused mayhem within a family or that. They never apologize. And I'm not sure in relation to the, gambling. Well, did he come along and say, look, I am so sorry.
No. He did when he met her first. Going back before he married her 10 years ago, he told her he had a problem, but he had sorted it out. He clearly didn't sort it out because a few years ago she said he claimed he was hacked. His bank account was hacked and he lost €3,000. In hindsight, now she knows that €3,000 wasn't a hack. It was obviously him gambling money. So he's been doing it all along. He's on decent money, gets paid decent money, but he's obviously betting or gambling an awful lot of it.
Yeah, that's a red flag to me. If someone doesn't apologize for their behavior or for, something like that, it's a red flag.
Mm. So, okay, so this is your sister you're giving advice to. What would you say to her?
I would say exactly what I was saying. Sit down and say, right, this is the way it's going to be. If we're going to stay together and I want to make sure that, I'm secure, my children are secure, and this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to take control over the finances. over the bank accounts. Everything comes through me.
And if he doesn't agree to that, says you're delusional, I don't have an issue, I've no problem here, I can stop at any time.
No, out the gap.
Gone.
He's gone. Pack your bags.
Okay, well, stay there. Sarah, hi, how are you?
Ah, oh, Jesus, Niall, how's it going?
How's it going? Ah, Jesus. How are you?
Jesus, Lord. How are you, G?
God bless us and save us and his Holy Mother of Christ.
Adam and Adam didn't.
Go on, Sarah, go on out of that, will you? Go on. Okay, what would you do in this situation, Sarah? This is your sister you're giving advice to.
I'd ask her, tell her to go and get a bit of support for herself, and in the meantime, have a chat with the hubby and tell him that he has a choice to come with me.
And if he turns That's around and says, okay, so I'm going to be the hubby in this situation based on the email. You're over-exaggerating the situation here. I don't have a problem. I can stop at any time. You're making a big deal about nothing.
Okay, well, before we got married, you did tell me that you had a problem with gambling. Now I'm going forward and we have a children and we want to have a nice, decent home and we were going on a holiday and...
Yeah, don't worry about the holiday. I'll get the money for you next month. Don't worry about the holiday. We have got a nice season.
Yeah, of course you will, but I don't trust you next month because that would have 600
I'm grand. I can control it. I know how much I can spend.
No, you can't. You are a gambler.
I stopped that years ago. I told you I stopped that years ago.
Well, you're in total denial. Well, I'll tell you what, right? If you're not a gambler, just this once, come with me and we'll go.
I'm not going anywhere with you. You're the one that's delusional and prying into my life.
It's either that we can't carry on like this.
Yeah, well, then we won't carry on. Go on, piss off to your mother. See, do I care?
Not at all. Like, hang on a minute.
But I think me and Sarah make a great mad married couple. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have left for that particular topic. Thank you, Sarah, and everybody who got involved in the topic. We'll be back with you after this break.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.